Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. The words for our text this morning are the words from Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And this is the account of Jesus' baptism. I would invite you to rise for the sermon text. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So far the text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We ask that by the truth you would set us apart from this dying world, so full of the deceit of the devil. We pray that you would send your Spirit to rest upon us, so that we believe what you say, so that we trust in you with our whole heart. And we ask that you kindle in us a love for others who have not yet heard this message, so that they too may receive it and be baptized and be a part of your kingdom forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it was there in the very bottom of the freezer, under the bag of frozen peas and a bag of green beans, it's a package about this big, some steaks. I don't know how they ended up down there, but there were only two in that package, but my mom and my brother, they were off somewhere else, and so when my dad found this package, he thought, "Oh, yes, steak." We were going to have a steak dinner. He fired up the grill, and I got some potatoes ready to go into the oven, and everything looked like it was on track for a great meal, until a little of the frost melted off that package, and we discovered that it was actually venison liver. So much for bonding over charred meat. Let me tell you, that didn't seem like a very good dinner. How can you have a steak dinner without steak? Now, maybe some of you out there like that tofu stuff, but it's not for me. You can't have a steak dinner without steak. Keep that in mind as we think about what Jesus does there at the Jordan. Jesus said in today's text that it was necessary for him to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. If he had not been baptized, then what he means by all righteousness here would remain unfulfilled. So Jesus' baptism is vitally important, and it's vitally important that Jesus be there for that baptism. Remember that Jeremiah said that the Savior would be called the Lord, our righteousness. The very reason that Jesus came down from heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary was to be our righteousness. The righteousness that we lack, the righteousness that we don't have of ourselves. He was to be that righteousness so that we might stand before God forgiven and found righteous in God's perfect sight so that we can be in heaven with the Lord. Jesus' ministry begins there with that baptism, with this baptism that he partakes in at the Jordan River. And it begins the ministry with the baptism that we have received. But John the Baptizer was confused when all this happened. Now you'd think with a title like Baptizer, he would know a thing or two about baptism, and he certainly did. Luke writes in chapter 3, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's pretty overly specific. This isn't a myth. That's what Luke is trying to impress upon us with these words. There was a man named John, and he was called by God to go out and do this very specific work out in the wilderness. He was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was to forsake a comfortable life in town and to go to the river's edge and call people to repentance for their sins. And it wasn't a fashionable life. He had to eat locusts and wild honey and wear rough clothing. So why all of this? Well, it's because God gave him a supporting role in his great plan of salvation. And one day, John had the privilege of seeing his younger relative, Jesus, come down the Jordan to that very spot near Anon where he was baptizing. John knew him. He knew already that he was Savior. From his mother's womb, he knew. He knew him as extended family. Undoubtedly, he knew what his family believed about this Jesus. He knew him as more than just a relative. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Savior. He knew it in his heart. Matthew writes, John would have prevented him from being baptized, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Well, that's probably a little bit of a overstatement in the translation. The original language here expresses a kind of confused reluctance. John didn't quite know what to make of this situation. Why the Messiah, the sinless one of God, would ask to be baptized. The word baptism is from the Greek, and it means a ritual bathing. And the Jews baptized many things to prepare them for their ritual use in their worship and in their homes, all kinds of things. So it's natural that John should take up this action of ritual bathing as a hallmark and give it this precise meaning that it's a ritual of bathing for the forgiveness of sins. In John's mind, his message of repentance leads to that baptism that he was baptizing with, a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So when Jesus came to stand there in the water with him and asked John to baptize him, it seemed out of place. Jesus was no sinner. Why would he need baptism? It would be as if Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, came up and asked me, you know, can you spot me a five? You'd wonder what in the world is going on. I'd probably hesitate a little bit trying to figure it out, just like John was trying to figure out what was going on with Jesus here. He thinks of the baptisms that he's been doing as an action that applies God's forgiveness, and certainly it did, and baptism still does that, but there's more to it than just what it does. Where did it come from? It wasn't John's newfangled invention. What gives it the power to forgive sins? Well, John certainly knew it wasn't his participation that did that. Remember, Jesus acknowledges Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. John was the greatest among men, but John knows that he is a sinner, just like you and me. John acknowledged his need for a Savior, his need to be baptized by Jesus. He knows that he needs to be forgiven by God. And he could not figure out why Jesus came to him to be baptized. Now notice how Jesus responds here. It's with such gentleness. He doesn't deny this seeming role reversal, but he gently says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." You see, Jesus was there at the Jordan to do something with that water and that word. Think of this amazing scene that unfolds before our eyes of faith that John was privileged to see. God has come down from heaven. God has taken on our human nature, yet was without sin. And here he is at this one particular moment in history, in that one particular place on the Jordan River, standing alongside man in the water, hearing his own powerful word. Think about that for a second. What John couldn't see with his eyes is the correct way to understand what was happening here. The reason that the water has power is not because of John, but because of Jesus. Jesus is the one that gives that water the power to forgive sins for the faithful. The reason that John's baptism forgave sins is because of Jesus, not because of John. The reason that baptism does now also save us is because of Jesus, because of what he did, because he went there to the Jordan and made that baptism a powerful thing for us. God connects it all together there at the Jordan, and not just in some kind of abstract way. It says when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all point to that water and that word and say, "There in him is the peace that I would give you." God would bring you through the troubled waters of this world that's drowning in sin in Jesus. It's not a fluke that the Spirit appears as the dove and comes down and rests upon him. Think of the last time that happened, when the dove came back to the ark with the olive branch. It's a sign of peace. God had this all planned out from the beginning. This event, this baptism in him, in Christ, you are surrounded by the troubled waters, but you are safe. In him, you are saved. In him, you are judged righteous in God's sight. You are saved in him. He was without sin, as John shows us here so very clearly. And he did give that perfect life up for you on the cross as the sacrifice for your sins, the necessary sacrifice to spring you free from that dark tomb along with him. He died your death for you. You're in him. And because he rose, you too shall live, the scriptures say. Surely this is what our Lord means when he says that he would fulfill all righteousness. He has left nothing undone for you. There's nothing more that you need to do to make God happy enough with you to permit you to enter into heaven. It's all done because he loved you first. He loves you. That's why he says it's finished. That's why he says again and again to you, you are forgiven, all your sins. Now, I often wondered about that as I was learning those words and thinking, why does God keep forgiving me all my sins? Well, he wants you to know that every last one of them are washed away in Christ. This is the full meaning of John's baptism. maybe even better, this is the meaning fleshed out by the Savior there in the Jordan for us. So when you think about your baptism, even if you don't remember it, don't focus on the water or the person that put water on your head and said those words. Focus on the one that gave that water and word its power and meaning there in the Jordan, the one who gave you faith to see and to hold on to God's truth and the salvation that comes along with that water as a dear and precious gift. No one can take it from you. You've been washed clean in the sight of God. Your sins are forgiven. Believe it. That's what God says to you and to me. Believe it with the faith that your baptism granted you. Now, I have to say the liver was a disappointment. But baptism never disappoints. It always does just exactly what God says it will. It gives faith. It's true, somebody can say it's not important to me, and they can discard that faith that it gives, but baptism is Pentecost Day for us who weren't there, because in it the Spirit promises to come and make his home with us and in us. Baptism gives us the gracious forgiveness of all of our sins, and Jesus' baptism is truly the beginning of his ministry. The three-year work that he did of proclaiming the truth there in Galilee and in Judea and the kingdom of in those days. And it's the beginning of the service that we want to do. We're baptized Christians. We trust him. We know what his mission is, and we gladly enter into that mission with him as we give thanks and praise to him for his goodness and mercy, not just to the people that we know, but to the nations. May God bless you as you think about your baptism and remember that powerful water and word that washed you and forgave you your sins and presented you to God clean in his sight. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.